Please join me in prayer. Father God, you have put amazing things in our hearts, and you've put something extraordinarily special in Allie's heart this season, for the entire season, but even for just today. Thank you for the gift of proclamation. Thank you that you let us have opportunities and avenues to express just the crazy love and amazing experience it is to be with you, and you give us ways to get that out. Otherwise, we'd probably blow up. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for how well she models how to love and how to pursue you, especially in this season. Be with her today. Help her to speak the words that you have given her for this congregation. Thank you that we get to participate in worship and to hear how great you are and how much you love and how deep and wide you are in that sense. Just anoint her as well. Pour out all over her. Give her peace. Give her joy. Give her hope. But give her love today. In your Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
I'm nervous. This is not my norm. This is not my normal in front of the scenes. I like to be behind the scenes. But that is not what has happened today or this year. So I actually kind of feel like I don't even need to preach because Tara really said what I'm going to say, but you're going to hear from me anyway. So Advent, this, has been for me, a labor of love, and that's what I'm going to talk about, today. Our theme today is love, and, specifically being on a journey of love, and, a journey is an act of traveling from one place to another. It's not staying in one spot. And that is what we are on. We are on a journey. And I want to thank Daniel last week for starting it off with hope, because I didn't get to be here. I was in with the kids last week, but I listened to it. And he mentioned something in there about vision and having dreams, and I was like, well, that's not me. And then I remembered, it might have even been at the beginning of the year, it might have been, I don't know when, but I remembered a time when I woke up, I had had a dream, and the dream was of me preaching. And I was like, no, that is not me, that is not what I do. But there was something planted in me that I knew that, I'm just going to cry a lot today. I just need to let you know that, because it has been a really hard year. And I feel like my heart is just, super raw, but full. That makes sense. So I'm actually just going to talk to you guys a little bit about my journey, even in getting to today, like in what I have to say. So with this whole Advent thing, I was put in charge of figuring it out. And the Lord has been so good and like brought people in, said, oh, what about this? What about this? And it all came together with the theme and Emmanuel and going, no, you know what? We're going to proclaim that, yeah, this is a crazy year. And yeah, it's hard. But God never left us. It's not a surprise. And we're going to proclaim and celebrate that he has been here. And yet there's still more to come with him. And that's hope, right? But so we were talking about, okay, well, what about the themes for each week? Hope, love, joy, peace. There's those four themes traditionally in Advent. They go in different orders. I couldn't find what the one was. So I just found one that worked with a curriculum I found for Sunday school, actually. So it all came together, but we're talking hope, we're talking love this week, then joy, then peace. So then we're, okay, what are we going to talk about? How can we do this? This year we've been really, it's been hard. We've been disconnected. We want this Advent season to be a reset. That is what has been on my heart, that this Advent season is a reset, a breathing in of new life for us. Okay. I don't care about the world. I'm just telling you right now. I don't care about the world. This message that I have today is not for everybody. This message today is for Faith Worship Community. That's what this is for. And God has been so good to me. I have not been afraid of the world. I've not been afraid of anything that has been going on in this world this year. It just hasn't. But what has happened is my heart and the fears for this church is what has been hard. And so there's that. So I don't even know what I'm going to say right now. I have a whole outline, but I'm just going to go. So so I was like, okay, Lord, well, what do you want for these people? What do you want for this church? And he's like, well, I want them to be connected. So then we got thinking, okay, so how can we do that? Videos. We need to hear from each other. We are forced to be away from each other, but that doesn't mean we have to stop being connected. So this concept of the videos and sharing our testimonies, that's where that came from. And it has been amazing and powerful to be part of it with Tabitha, for Tabitha to step up and say, I can do this. And to partner with her and to hear each other's stories has given me hope, has given me love, has given me peace and joy. Those are coming. You guys just wait for those. Those are coming soon. Anyway, so the videos, being connected. So then we're like, okay, we want to share people's stories. Okay, then what about the sermon? What do we want to hear from people in the Bible? You know, like we're talking about how it seems like God wasn't with us at times, but then when we put a different frame on it, we look back and go, oh no, he was with us. He was with us here, here, and here. What about people in the Bible that have had that? And so that's what we kind of structured our series on. But God changes things. So, but I started on that path and I was like, okay, Lord, well, who do you want me to talk about? Because I jumped on love in my heart. It's like I knew my year had been a journey of love. And so that's when we were opening up who's going to preach what. Love, I'm just like, that's me. So so I'm like, okay, God, I got that. But what do you want to say? And I looked through the genealogy of Christ. So that's what we were talking about too, is like Christ comes from heavenly, but he also came from people. And these people are people who had their own walks and their own journeys that ended up leading to the actual birth of our Lord, the Emmanuel coming. So like, let's look at these people. What can we learn from them? What can we learn from their journey? So I read through the genealogy and it got to Ruth. Now, Ruth is my middle name and it's always been a really important story for me. One of my best friends growing up's name is Naomi. And I always said we were meant to be sisters, friends, because of the Bible, and we are. But as I was looking through Ruth, and I read through it, and it is a really cool book, you guys. There's so much that happens in that four-chapter story that I'm going to tell you guys to go read. I'm not going to read it today because the Lord has led me down a different path. But when I was looking at Ruth and studying Ruth, I learned so many cool theological like things of how it's a story from Bethlehem. It's set in Bethlehem, just like the story of Christmas. And I was trying to do a whole Christmas. No, it's not about Christmas. I mean, it is. But what it is about community. And the book of Ruth is a story of Naomi. She was married to a man named Elimelech, and he is in the line of David. They left to go to Moab. They left Bethlehem, which means house of bread, by the way. But house of bread was having a famine. So they left to go to Moab. She, Naomi, Elimelech, and their two sons. They left to go to Moab. The two sons ended up marrying Moabite women. Now that was not good back then. Moab was like the opposite of God's people. And it was like, yeah. So while they're there, bad stuff happens. Elimelech dies. Her two sons get married. Naomi's two sons get married. The two sons die. And then they're left, Naomi and these two daughters-in-law. And come to find out, she found out that the famine had been done now in Bethlehem, back home. So they are going to leave and go back. And I am not going to go through the whole book. But what I am going to tell you is, this story, the book of Ruth, is a story of love. And it's not just of romantic love of Boaz, because then she meets Boaz, right? It's not only a story of that. It's not only a story of a mother-in-law and a daughter-in-law and love. It is a story of love, reciprocated love, back and forth throughout the whole book. First, Naomi is looking out for Ruth when it's time to go back to Bethlehem. She tells her daughters-in-law to stay because they're, at least it's their people in Moab, it's they're going to be okay in Moab. But Naomi is going back to Bethlehem where it's not going to be okay for them as Moabite women going back. And Naomi has no more kids. She's like, I am too old. I'm not going to give you another husband. You can't, you know, you have nothing with me. There's nothing if you stay with me. So that's number one, Naomi looking out for Ruth. Ruth just says, too bad. I'm going. She says, don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me ever so severely, if even death separates you and me. And when Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. She's like, all right, got it. So she left everything. Ruth left everything that she knew. Everything that was familiar, everything that was safe to go because she loved Naomi. And she met God. The God of Naomi is our God, Yahweh. The gods of Moab, no. But something happened in that relationship with Naomi and Ruth where she met God and she said, your God is now my God and I'm going to go and I'm going to follow you and I'm going to do whatever is best. And that was going with her. While they were there in Bethlehem, the Lord just set up people. Boaz became the person that took care of them. And he cared for them. He looked out for Ruth. Ruth being a Moabite woman again. Not something that he probably should have done. But he looked out for her. And he took care of her. And they were provided for. We're competing with a little bit of worship over here, guys, on Zoom. So if you hear anything in the background or me going, what's going on? But that's okay. So this book, I was just going, okay, God, what relationship do you want me to focus on? And he said, all of them. He said, it isn't just one. This story of Ruth is of redemption that led to the birth of Obed, who is Jesse's dad, King David's grandfather, right? And then that's Jesus comes from that line. So this story of redemption of love went from famine, started out at the beginning, from famine to complete abundance. From a funeral, started with the death of Elimelech, to the wedding of Boaz and Ruth, and went from loss to life, to a new life being born. But how did that happen? It didn't happen alone. It didn't happen because of one thing. It happened because they took care of each other. And that is what the Lord said that story is about for us today. And I said, okay. And then he said, now share your story. So this is the part where I get a little raw. So my journey this year has been breaking the way that I do things, breaking the reason I do things. I stepped into this, into this COVID thing, into trying to make this church happen back in March, April, May. It was a scramble. I mean, it's been a scramble, but it was like, okay, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? And I'm telling you guys, and I'm not saying this for any pat on the back because it actually was very detrimental to me, but I worked really hard to try and make this thing stay, to make this church keep going, to finding the Learning Center, to doing everything that I felt like I could. And I got done. I was mad, very honestly. I was very frustrated in June because I had, in my mind, done all this stuff and people were just still complaining and people were not wanting to be there. And I'm like, I am mad. I'm mad and I'm out of here. And I had confessed that to the Lord. I've confessed it to a few people, but I was relying on myself and my duty to the church. Okay, that was coming from a place of, I'm going to make this happen. And when I was met with a lack of enthusiasm for having it happen, it was really hard and I was discouraged. And I was already planning to go on vacation. So that wasn't, I didn't like leave out of protest. Okay. I didn't, but I did stay. I did stay for a lot longer than I had anticipated when I went to Montana. But the Lord used that. And that's the good news, is he takes things that we do out of selfish ambition, vain conceit, running away. He can turn it. And he has. And during that time I was there, we had the dream from Wes. And the dream that he brought to our church was about us being sleepy and about us not caring for one another and not caring well for the community. And that got me going. That got me thinking. It got me kind of going, okay, Lord, well, where, yeah, I want to wake up. I want to wake up. I don't want to be that church. I don't want to be that church. I want to be a church that loves. I want to be a church that cares. I want to be a church that actually is alive. And so I started thinking and I thought, that means I got to get out of the way. That's what I thought. I thought that meant I needed to get out of the way. And so I stayed away and I stayed away for a little bit and the Lord was working on me and working on like, no, yes, yes, you do need to get out of the way, but that doesn't mean to go away. And that's two different things. And I thought it meant to just be a support for Brad. And so I kind of like, okay, I'm just going to step back. I'm going to step back. I'm not going to do this. And I'm just going to be his wife, which I need to do. I am his wife. He is the pastor. He is the pastor of this church. And he does need me as his wife and his helper. I don't get to define what that is, by the way. I don't get to say, I'm helping you. I'm going to help you by doing this. So I learned that. So the Lord worked on me in my heart and toward my husband. And then I come back and I start to get frustrated again. And I'm starting to go and I'm starting to like, and I'm like, no, let's take a step back, take a step back. And just even when we were in a staff meeting, I think this is October, literally we're in a staff meeting and I'm sharing what the Lord's been saying to me about waking up and the dream that I'm not supposed to be doing things for the church anymore. I'm not supposed to be like taking care of everybody. I'm supposed to be taking care of my home. And literally like the next day, Brad sends an email to staff saying, and Allie's going to lead Advent. And I'm like, what did you not hear? But he knows I'm his helper. He gets to decide. And it has been amazing. It has been the thing that has changed my heart from being a heart of duty to a heart of love for this church. And I'm waking up to that. My title of this sermon is Wake Up to Love. And that is what I'm inviting you guys to. I'm inviting you guys to step out of duty and wake up to love. So I'm like fired up. Okay, I'm in. I love planning things. You know, that's what I do. So I'm like, I'm going to do this. And then I'm like, oh, but I have to actually speak to. So I'm like, okay, I'm committed to this church. Like, I want to see this church alive. I want to see this church full of love, bubbling over with love. And I'm like ready to go. And the literal next, I mean, I have this amazing small group with the girls to talk about our testimonies. And I'm fired up in my heart. And it was even election day. And I didn't, you know, I don't care. None of that was bothering me. I was just excited about what the Lord is going to do in this church. And the very next day, I found out Stephanie was leaving. And I was so upset. I'm just being honest and real right now. I was mad at the Lord. I'm like, how can you give me love for this church and then you take someone away? Like, how is that okay? Is that love? Is that just what this is going to be? Just a pouring out and feeling loss? Do you even know? And all he says is John 3:16. For I so loved the world that I gave my only son. Yes, I know. And yes, that is what it is going to be. But it doesn't stop there. And that's the thing. This is a journey. It is not a journey of loss. It is a journey of love. And yes, loss is involved. Loss of your life is involved. If you look at Ruth, Ruth left everything she knew. She left everything that was comfortable. She left everything that was for her to succeed in life, according to the world, right? To go to where she was loving and lost. She lost her life, but you know, she found it. That's the beauty of the gospel. But the other thing is that I was sharing it with Brad, and we have a counselor that we see, and I highly recommend counseling. It's awesome. Do not feel any shame in that, people. And I was sharing that with him, and he was like, I see Jesus weeping over Jerusalem. That's the visual. And yes, that is love. So Jesus, sitting there 6 miles away, by the way, from where he was born in Bethlehem, sitting on top of a mountain, looking out over Jerusalem, it says he wept because these people who he loved didn't get it. They were going to kill him. And he just sat there and he wept. And it just made me feel like, okay, it's okay. Like Jesus has already done this. What you said, Tara, he came here. He was here. He knows what it feels like to love and to lose and to keep going to the end. We don't stop, you guys. We don't stop. He knows what it's like. And then I started looking at love. And I'm like, okay, Lord, so we've got that. It is okay. So, but what do you want for us? And he said, look at what love is. So in the Bible, Jesus, he is no stranger to loss and pain. In fact, where we first hear Jesus give the new commandment to love is right after he was betrayed. In John, Judas betrays him. And the next conversation, well, this is what it says. This is John 13:21. Now Jesus was deeply troubled, and he exclaimed, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. And then right after that, he basically says, love anyway. John 13:34. So now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. One of the things I found in my research is that before this, how people knew that they were Jesus' disciples was because they followed him. And now what he has said is, I'm going to leave. And how they're going to know is you're going to love each other. It no longer is about doing the right thing. It's no longer about the old law. Which, by the way, if you look at the old law, it's love your neighbor. And even the Ten Commandments were all about being for the other person, by the way. They weren't necessarily for you. It was, you know, don't covet your neighbors. It's like, don't. It was about the other. But he says now the new commandment is as love as I have loved you. And I'm like, okay, so what's that mean for us? It's the part that says, as I have loved you. That's the new part. 1 John 2:7-11. I'm going to read a lot of scripture, okay? Because that's what it is. Dear friends, I am not writing a new commandment for you. Rather, it is an old one that you have had from the very beginning. It's kind of funny because then he says, this old commandment to love one another is the same message you heard before. Yet, it is also new. Jesus lived for the truth of this commandment. And you also are living it. For the darkness is disappearing and the true light is already shining. So what is love? John 15:12-14. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. This doesn't say go out and love the random person. Jesus is talking to his disciples. And I'm talking to you. We are to love each other. We are to love each other and to not stop at loss. I feel like God has given me a word or a vision, whatever, throughout the last year. And I think it's time for me to say it. And it scares me because speaking is with authority is hard for me. And I know the Lord's been working on me. I talked about it in Women's Bible study in September, calling us to a fast of the media. Like, he's really been telling me, no, you need to speak. So I think the time is now, and it's about offense. And that offense is what blocks love. We are to love each other. But if we are offended by something somebody has done to us, said to us, said about us, or even perceived offense, love cannot happen. Love cannot happen. And we are commanded to love. But what we are going to be called to, you guys, is relational courage this year. We cannot love one another if we are not willing to work through offense with each other. Tara, you have been in these sermons because you've been an example of that. And you are here. And I love you. And my husband cannot rave more about you and Wes. And thank you for choosing to work through it and for being here. And that is what I believe that the Lord is telling us as Faith Worship Community. We are not to be offended at one another. And if it's there, you better darn deal with it. Because you don't want the Lord dealing with it with you. I mean, you might. But His command is to love each other. And the cool news is, well, first I'm going to read this part. 1 John 2:9 through 11. If anyone claims I am living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. It's pretty heavy and pretty clear. The awesome news about this is that the Lord doesn't leave us where he found us. He gives us directions on how to do this. He gives us instruction. He gives us each other. He gives us people who have gone before us who have done it. Matthew 18, 15 to 17. If any believer sins against you, go privately and point out the offense. Go to the person, you guys. Don't go to somebody and talk about it. Go to the person. And don't accuse. Come to it with relational courage that says, I am hurt. I am offended. And this is how and why that happened. And allow the other person to hear it. And this says, if the other person listens and confesses it, you have won that person back, which is the whole point, by the way, is relationship. It's not about being right. It's about relationship. But if you are unsuccessful, take one or two others with you and go again so that everything you say may be confirmed by two or three witnesses, because we all know there are two sides to every story, people. So if it doesn't get resolved directly with the first person, go and get two other people. And best, do it with the elders. That's their job, to care for the spiritual life of our community. And community, by the way, is not an organization. I mean, technically, legally, we have to, but we are people, and we are relationship first. And that is where the Lord dwells. So there's our instructions. You can read more about that later. But the whole point is, don't do it alone. Don't do it alone. Why, you ask? Funny you should ask. You alone are not the body of Christ. You alone are not the body of Christ. Does he dwell in you? Yes. But the Bible is very clear. 1 Peter 4, 7 through 10. The end of the world is coming soon. Amen. Therefore, be earnest and disciplined in your prayers. Most important of all, continue to show deep love for each other, for love covers a multitude of sins. Cheerfully share your home with those who need a meal or a place to stay. And we skip to 10. God has given each of you a gift from his variety of spiritual gifts. This is important. Use them well to serve one another. Don't use it and keep it to yourself. That's not why he gave them to you. That's not love. Love requires an other to be a part of it. All right. 1 Corinthians. One body with many parts. 1 Corinthians 12. The human body has many parts, but the many parts make up one whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. Some of us are Jews, some of us are Gentiles, some of us are slaves, some are free, but we have all been baptized into one body by one Spirit, and we all share the same Spirit. Yes, the body has many different parts, not just one. If the foot says, I'm not a part of the body because I'm not a hand, that does not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear says, I am not part of the body because I'm not an eye, would that make it any less part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, how would you hear? Or if the whole body were an ear, how would you smell anything? Our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. How strange a body would be if it only had one part. Yes, there are many parts, but only one body. The eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. The head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. Get the idea, right? It says, in fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Don't count yourself out. That's what that says. Don't count yourself out. And the parts we regard as less honorable are those we clothe with greatest care. So we carefully protect those parts that should not be seen, while the more honorable parts do not require this special care. So God has put the body together such that honor and care are given to those parts that have less dignity. This is really a part I love. It says, this makes for harmony among the members, so that all members care for one another. If one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. This is Paul speaking. Therefore, I, a prisoner for serving the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of your calling. For you have been called by God. Always be humble and gentle. This is a big one. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Because of your love. Not just, oh, I tolerate that person. Not just, oh, they bug me. And guess what? People are going to bug you. That's what we do. We're human. We bug each other. We have tendencies of doing things that are annoying or whatever. We all have them. Everybody. But what it says is, be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Doesn't say gloss over them either, though. Right? This is the part that's cool. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of body, the church. He makes us the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts to grow. So that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Love. So Wes's dream was given to us, you guys. Us as a church. What have you done with it? I want you guys, if you need to go listen to it, we have the recording. But I am encouraging you and not admonishing, but like telling you, we have been spoken to by the Lord to wake up. For me, I was told to wake up to love, to wake up to loving this church and to offering myself, not out of duty, not out of like results. That's the other thing the Lord really told me is let go of the results. Just do what I ask you to do. That is how you love me. And for me, it's in loving you guys. And I'm not going anywhere. I learned that. going away is not getting out of the way. Getting out of the way sometimes is actually staying right where you are and being willing to trust the journey of love. Don't stop at the loss. Move to life. Is it easy? No. Is this a story of perfection? No, it's a story of redemption. How do we do this? We don't have to do it alone. He tells us again, which is so cool, how we do it. We don't do it by our own love. We are finite. We do it by abiding in him, not the church. It starts with abiding in him, which usually means then being with others, because what good is it if you're by yourself? I don't know. That's just me. Not really. It's for us. But John 15:1-17. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, and you may ask anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. If you are my friends, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. Now you are my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other. I asked the Lord, like, okay, got it. We're to love each other. What's the definition of love? Laying down your life. Not letting things get in the way, not letting things, turning a blind eye to things that are in the way of love, but coming at it straight on. And then I said, Lord, why Ruth? And he said, because they went from famine to bounty. They went from loss to life. How did they do it? They did it together. They did it together. And that is what he's calling us as Faith Worship Community to move together into what he has for us next. He has something for us. We're in the middle of it right now. We've experienced loss. We're going to continue. That's just part of the deal. But he is calling us to be here. Romans 2:10. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. That's our challenge. That's how we do it. And honor means confronting things that are in the way. It's not honoring to pretend it's not there. Okay? I'm preaching to myself. The Lord gave me a song to end with. I'm not going to sing it. I am going to say it. I could. People come together, strangers, neighbors, our blood is one. Children of generations, of every nation, of kingdom come. I can't see that. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Hold your head up high. Don't fear no evil. Fix your eyes on this one truth. God is madly in love with you. So take courage, hold on, Be strong. Remember where your help comes from. And this is my part. And love each other. And love each other. That's it. Wake up to love.